What do you see? What do you see when you look around the world? I think what we see is quite a bit of good as people seek to live their lives as best they can, but we also see a lot of pain and confusion and distress. We also see injustice. We see wars and rumors of wars. What do you see when you look around the world? What do you see when you look at our nation? Again, we see good, but we also see that confusion and pain and injustice. We see systems that are organized without reference to God and sometimes explicitly against God. We see consumerism, we see materialism. We see alternative worship going on as people click online and as people go to shopping malls. What do you see when you look around? What did John's first hearers and readers see when they looked around them in their first century world? Well, in many ways, they saw very similar things to what we see. They saw the might of imperial power. They saw a system that was organized as an alternative to God and against God. They saw the symbols of imperial power. For example, the imperial eagle everywhere that they looked, on buildings, on banners, on the uniforms of troops, and so on. They saw pain and injustice and oppression. They saw wars and rumors of wars. And what did John see when he was caught up by God into heaven and given this extraordinary vision? Well, he saw the world, he saw the cosmos from a different perspective, from a heavenly perspective. It's not an alternative reality, but it's a different perspective on the one reality. We see from our earthbound perspective, and John was privileged to see from a heavenly perspective. And through God's word and by his spirit, we can see that alternative perspective today as we dip in to Revelation 4. And it's a perspective that fires our hearts, that informs our minds, and which nerves us for daily living in the realities that we face today. I'm going to make one central point from this reading and then two questions that flow out from it. The central point is this, that God is at the center. Wonderfully, we've heard that already from Levi. God is at the center. Father God, Jesus Christ, the seven spirits of God, they are at the very center of this vision. God is on the throne. And as Levi said, all the action takes place around the throne or in front of the throne. It's like a series of concentric circles going on and out around the throne. First of all, we see the 24 elders who are dressed in white with crowns around their heads. What's the significance of the number 24? Probably it is the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel together with the 12 apostles. And this 24 represent the totality of the people of God. And there, and obviously this includes us, we're around the throne and we are praising our wonderful, gracious God, the three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. And then there are the four living creatures. You may have heard an interpretation that these are representing the four gospels, and that is just a possibility, but more likely, this is the created order. The things that we see around us, the animals, the birds, they are there and they also are praising God, the one who was and who is and who is to come. And so all of the created order and all of the people of God join together in saying, worthy are you to receive honor and glory and power and praise. Holy, holy, holy is the one who was and who is to come. And this is reality viewed from a different perspective. As we look around our world, we think, well, is God really in the center? But when we see from a heavenly perspective, we realize that truly he is. When we look around our world, we wonder, is God really in control? But when we see from a heavenly perspective, yes, he is. He's the one who was and who is to come. God is in control. And so we get this central, wonderful vision that, as I say, fires our hearts, informs our minds, and nerves us for daily living as disciples of Jesus Christ. Two questions for us to consider today. First of all, if Jesus is at the center of this vision, is he at the center of our lives? If he's at the center of the cosmos, if Father God is on the throne, is God at the center of our lives, the way that we live as we follow Jesus Christ? Sometimes we sort of think of Jesus as a bolt-on, add-on extra to our lives. We want to be in control. We want to call the shots. And Jesus is there, but he is a God who, well, we'd like him to be at our beck and call. When things go wrong, we want him to be there for us. When we have issues in our family or in our workplace or in our community, we might come to him and cry out to him in desperation. And those things are good. And we see that in the scriptures. God takes us just as we are. And wonderfully, he responds to our prayers, to our calls, to our cries for mercy. That is his grace. That is the wonder of his love. But also, he wants us to go deeper, and he wants us to go into a different way of living that has Jesus at the very center. One of my friends is just announcing to her church today that after many years of ministry, she's been called to serve another union, another association, and she's going to be having a translocal role as the lead for Deeper Church. And it's a wonderful title. And I want to encourage us in terms of Deeper Church and having Jesus at the center. We might think of our lives as a car, and we might think about who is on the steering, who is driving the car, whose hands are on the steering wheel. Is Jesus the passenger, along for the ride, along for help and guidance, or is he actually driving our lives? These are big things, and in order to reflect on this overarching question, do we have God at the center? We might ask ourselves a supplementary question and ask, as we journey through life, are we uncomfortable with what's around us? Because if society is organized without reference to God, and if we are living with God at the center, if we are living in the light of the vision of Revelation 4, then we will be uncomfortable, because we will have different priorities. We will have a different social ethic, one that is based around the scriptures, one that is based around the love of God. We won't be living for ourselves, or as people sometimes do, ourselves and close family. We will be living for others. We will be different in the workplace. We will be different in the home. We will be different in the way that we use our finances. Are we uncomfortable as we journey through this world. Someone once asked, if someone were to accuse you of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would there be enough evidence in the workplace, in the home, in your inner life, in your family, and in your community? As God challenges us about these things, may he be at the very center of our lives. May our lives be oriented towards him. And may he challenge us to make small and medium-sized and large concrete steps to make this increasingly real in the way that we live. So that's the first question here. Is God at the very center of our lives? And the second question, which also flows from this vision, is John's heavenly perspective also our perspective? Ask again the question, what do you see? And we need to see the pain and the injustice and the oppression. We need to live our lives in the midst of chaos and confusion and pain. We need to get our hands dirty in service. That was the call to all the churches that John was originally writing to, the churches that we see addressed directly in Revelation 2 and 3. God wasn't going to take them out of their sticky situation. God wanted them to engage wholeheartedly in the places where he had put them, in Sardis, in Philadelphia, in Laodicea, and so on. And he wants us to engage wholeheartedly in the work in Leeds, in Japan, in Chad, wherever God has placed us. And so we need to see those things, but we also need to see things from the heavenly perspective, and so be encouraged and uplifted. We see here that God is in control, and that ultimately he's not only the one who was, but he's also the one who is right now and who is to come. We see the rainbow, the green emerald rainbow that Levi has highlighted for us, probably harking back to the rainbow of the Old Testament, the covenant God made with Noah. God is a covenant-keeping God. He has made promises to us as his people, and he will keep them. We have the sea that is clear as crystal. In the scriptures, the sea is very often a symbol of chaos. We see Jesus in the New Testament calming the storms, stilling the wind and the waves. We see the psalmist saying, "All your waves and breakers have broken over me." The sea can be chaotic. The sea can be threatening. But Jesus calms the storm. And here with this wonderfully heavenly perspective, we see that the sea is calm and still and clear. God is at work. We have here the elders casting their crowns before God, and we see them putting Jesus at the center. But we also see them doing that in this context that God is sovereign and God is working things out. Sometimes we think, well, where are our lives going? Sometimes we see the challenges in church life and we get disheartened. Sometimes you see the challenges in your own life, in your own ministries, and you become downhearted. But here we see that ultimately God is going to work everything out. I was thinking of the old chorus, "Jesus is King, Jesus is King, and I will extol him, give him the glory and honor his name." And there's a line in that chorus, "We have a hope that is steadfast and certain." That is the truth of Revelation 4. That is the truth of what we see here and the reality of our world. Pain and confusion and chaos. Systems that are organized against God. Wars and rumors of wars. Yes, we see all of this. But here in this passage, we see reality from another perspective. And we see that God is going to work things out for his good, for his glory, and for his people. What's our hope for the next few years? I believe, as you know, that God has really exciting things in store for Cornerstone Baptist Church. We have a purpose, we have values, we will be working over the next few months on what I think is a really exciting vision to take us forward over the next 5 years, with aims and objectives, thinking about life and growth across our sites, thinking about children's ministry, about TLG, about ministry amongst the vulnerable, thinking about going deeper with God in all sorts of different ways. And I think it's hugely exciting, and I am wonderfully hopeful. I think we'll know probably in 3 years' time if it's really, really working. But I am wonderfully excited and optimistic. But at the end of the day, I don't quite know how it's going to turn out. I can't say that I am 100% certain that everything is going to work out, because, well, amongst other things, we know in the past year that things can crash in and change. We know that things are not certain through our journeys in life. As I say, I'm very excited, I'm very optimistic, I'm very enthusiastic, as I know that a number of you are, but I can't say for certain. But what I can say for certain from this passage is that we serve and follow the God who was and who is and who is to come, the one who is on the throne, the one who is the covenant-keeping God, the one who gathers all of his people around him together with creation to praise him, the one who in Jesus is coming again, the one who is present with us by the Holy Spirit. All and this and more can be said with 100% certainty through this wonderful, glorious, powerful passage. And as we take on board that sure and certain future, yes, we can be nerved for the fight here and now, to plow on, to press forward with joy in our hearts, filled with the Holy Spirit, ready to play our part in God's vision for his church, for the ministries that God has given us, for our front lines, for our families, ready to put God at the center. This is a challenge. This is a tall order. But if we truly see this vision, then this is something that we can live out. So what do you see? What do we see? What do I see? Chaos and pain and confusion and difficulty and setbacks, together with the joys that often come alongside these. We see all of this, and we need to see it. And we need to live our lives in the light of this concrete everyday reality. But we need to have a different perspective also. We need to have the heavenly perspective, the perspective of the throne and of worship and of joy and of the sovereignty of God. And if we have this perspective, then we can press forward together and fulfill the calling that he has given to us as a church and as individual disciples along the way.